Murder Corner.
Yeah, Murder Corner.
Murder Corner 2.
How would you kill Godzilla's offspring?
Gatsuki?
Gatsuki?
I would cancel his cartoon, I guess.
Welcome to the Six Demon Bag Podcast, where we pull random topics related to writing, comics, movies, all that kind of thing.
This is Jeff. I write sci-fi, horror, and fantasy, and Ed wrote a great sci-fi story called The All Clear.
Oh, you're right, I did. Yes, I do write some science fiction. This is
Fuck Ed. Your face, Ed! Fuck your face!
Damn,
I did do that.
This is Ed. I dabble in science fiction, do some fantasy and horror. Writing, that is.
I am Andrew.
The most succinct Andrew has ever been. This is Ryan. I once wrote a spec of 30 Rock that got past the first round of eliminations in the Scriptapalooza script competition. Holla! That's getting cut.
No, it's not. Exquisite Corpse.
Exquisite Corpse is an old storytelling game where you pass the story along.
Around Robin.
Yeah. It began in blood. Blood on the ceiling. Blood on the seats. Blood on the stick shift.
A hard-driving rockabilly song warbled over the radio.
Which was coated in blood.
But the driver, slumped over the wheel, could hear none of it.
Given the intensity of his allergies, his nosebleed had completely ruined his interior, forcing him to make a pit stop at the nearest body shop.
This was no ordinary body shop. This shop sold bodies.
So he went in and bought a body with no allergies. A body that was 11 feet tall, completely hairless, and with 4 butts.
In order to fit into my vehicle, he told the owner, I'm gonna need you to recommend a good body shop to me to chop the top off this vehicle.
And that subtle hint at toplessness is when the porn music began to play.
The body shop owner began removing his top.
In place of pectorals, he had 4 butts. But when he spread them apart, pendulous tentacles snaked forth and tore the roof off of his vehicle.
Problem solved, said the 11-foot bald man with 4 butts. But I'm going to need some interior work as well to accommodate my 4 posteriors.
If you know what I mean.
Having watched enough hentai to know how this would end, the man pulled out his samurai sword.
Quote unquote.
And, quote unquote. And said, can you at least buy me dinner? Or make a vaguely suggestive line?
The body shop owner said, I got nothing.
I don't like where this is going. You got it. You got to. You started.
Butts. Is there any butts?
You
got to
finish
place,
it.
Got a samurai sword.
Come on, man. We got,
quote unquote.
We got butts. We got tentacles. We got swords. Bring it on. And we got lots of blood. Bring it on home, man.
The body shop owner said, I never taste things that can taste me.
So the bald man hopped in his car and sped over the county line, not knowing that he had broken an obscure Alabama bylaw that said you cannot have 4 butts in a 2-seat sedan.
With no roof.
With no roof.
Sorry.
Thankfully, he wasn't in Alabama, so the police could not prosecute. Driving forward over the state line into Alabama, however, he then crossed... What's next to Alabama?
Mississippi,
into Mississippi. There, speeding over the line, and then infracting the law.
Wait, so he was in Alabama?
I'm shit, so I don't confused.
Know, once over the state line, a state trooper pulled him over. Said, you've got too many butts in this 2-seat car. One of those butts better be your sister's.
The end.
Amazing.
That was fun. That was fun. Favorite book, comic book, character?
Well, I'd have to say that till this day, my favorite manga of all time would be Love Hina. It was a romance comedy where they put the comedy first. It was hilarious. It was perverted, but it was also hilarious.
One of my favorite comic book characters is a kind of obscure one. It was a robot bounty hunter named Death's Head. And he was in the Marvel UK books. And it was just, it was violent and it was funny and it was really weird. They had like a crossover with the Transformers, and eventually they brought him over into the US line of books. And they had this awesome future timeline where he like fought the Fantastic Four and the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they never really knew what to do with this character because he was so funny. It always had a surreal edge, and if you're into that sort of thing, look up Death's Head. Highly recommend it.
My favorite comic is probably, or graphic novel. My favorite graphic novel is probably Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell's From Hell. That was
that's a good one.
Yeah, it's based on the real life, Jack the Ripper murders in Whitechapel in the 1890s, right before the turn of the century. And I picked it up on a whim. I met Eddie Campbell because I was at Comic-Con or something, and I met him, and I bought it there. And I was there to talk him into letting me adapt. He did this great, he used to do Bacchus, this great indie comic about the God of Wine kind of doing the islands, wandering around and getting people drunk. And he did this this cool one where he got a pub to secede from England or something. And I really thought it would make a fantastic movie. I wanted to adapt it. But, you know, I was just a kid. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I talked to Eddie Campbell and gave him my stupid card. And, you know, he never called me, whatever. But I picked up From Hell.
Tashi no Mejides.
Yeah. I picked up From Hell, and on the drive back up to San Diego, I think I read three quarters of it. Or back up to Los Angeles from San Diego, I think I read three quarters of it in the car because it was just mesmerizing. It's exactly the kind of story I love to write because it's history, but it also has a paranormal edge because Alan Moore kind of tied in the placement of the monuments and the relationship to where the women are killed into like Freemasonry, and kind of that the killer was pursuing this mystical purpose to kind of solidify the subjugation of the feminine so that they could go into the 20th century and industrialism and you know, male military might and everything would take over, because like it was so complex and amazing. I mean, like there were monuments that he would kind of relate to, like Egyptian obelisks that were on the places where like the Celtic warrior queen Boudica, like, you know, was subjugated or something, like lost a battle against, you know, the Britons or the Romans or something. And it was just fascinating. I mean, how deep he went, and like it tied into slipstream reality, and like time was changing, and it was kind of like how the killer was affecting time, the future and everything. And it's a fantastic read.
I just remember when he made a boob into a pillow.
Great. That boils it down. You really boil it down to its essence right there. I should have just said that.
You know, man, I always love Moon Knight, and I've never read a single issue of Moon Knight.
How much do you love Moon Knight?
Why do you love
then?
Moon Knight so much? I just love Moon Knight, too.
He's a cool-looking character with a cool name. And then Ed described some of him to me, and I was like, yeah, cool, sounds good.
I had the first appearance of Moon Knight.
Good covers, I don't know.
It's the only character, like, only kind of major character, not really a major character, I guess, but known kind of superhero that I had the first appearance of in Werewolf by Night. Two issues of Werewolf by Night. Because he was created to defeat the werewolf. Because the committee gave him, like,
ants.
Silver silver weaponry and everything to defeat the werewolf Jack Russell. Jack Russell Terrier. Exactly. Jack Russell Terrier, the werewolf
that's
by night.
That's awful. That makes Werewolf by Night even worse in my book.
That's my favorite comic. Probably my favorite like monthly comic.
Why didn't you say that?
I'm talking about my favorite, like all-time favorite. But Werewolf by Night, my mom and dad, I did bad in school. Terrible. And my parents picked up a stack of these Werewolf by Nights at a flea market or something. And they would allow me, if I did good in school for the whole week, they would allow me to have an issue. And so, an issue of the comic, that is. And I got to looking forward to them every month, every week and everything. You know, it was like I was reading the story week by week. And so I was always anticipation and stuff. And yeah, I got the first appearance of Moon Knight through that. So I understand the love of Moon Knight.
Does he have superpowers?
No.
Only during the moonrise?
No, not really. He's just like a Marvel Batman.
Oh, I take it all back then. That guy sucks. This isn't my favorite, but when I was young, very young, we would, you know, I was a reader and like an avid reader, right? We would...
Nerd.
I'm in the company of nerds.
Are my Blu-rays okay?
Battlestar. I've never seen a single episode of Battlestar Galactica. I have seen a single episode of Galactica 1980, though, which is odd.
Jesus,
where he befriended a... They get stranded on a planet. Starbuck got stranded on a planet and befriended a Cylon.
Yeah.
So, like, we would ride our bikes to the library, like the town library, you know, and just, like, I would rent Goosebumps books and shit. Like, this is what we did for fun in my small town.
Mm-hmm.
You could still ride your bike to the town library. I think even in that same town nowadays, they probably wouldn't let kids just randomly ride their bikes around town without supervision. But
it's like a Ray Bradbury
story. A whole other topic, yeah. I think that's probably one of the reasons I respond to Bradbury so well is because, it's very similar experiences. But I kind of gave up on reading because it was like nerdy, you know? And like the cool kids didn't do it, so I stopped doing it for a while.
So far, so good. Mm. You're on the right path.
And then I won this writing award in fifth grade, like our graduation. They were like, and Ryan wins the writing award. And I was astonished. I had no idea it was coming. And then my prize was this book, and it was, I don't know if it's the first in the series, but it was Redwall.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which are like these kids' books about all these animals.
Anthropomorphic mice, yeah.
That is the book that got me back into
rekindled my
love of literature and stuff. Those are great books. I still can't say that they're my favorite, but they're pretty wonderful.
Brian Jacques. Yeah,
Brian and there's
Jacques.
Like 10,000 of these.
Yeah,
fucking books,
a bunch of them. Martin of Redwall.
Like he must hire like ghostwriters to pump these things out because.
Isn't that the dream?
There's impossible amounts
to find some young adult. Property with legs, and then just have
just spin it out endlessly.
Army of faceless writers who slave away, and you get all the credit.
But I don't think people know them. But there was a cartoon, but there were never any movies or
There was a cartoon, and my daughter Noli, my oldest daughter, got way into it, and she responded to one of those stupid. She basically. Tried out for Disney Channel or something once, right? For something.
What?
Yeah, this is a long time ago. Auditioned or whatever. And the guy who interviewed her asked her, like, what's your favorite show and everything? And she was watching Redwall at the time. And she's like, Redwall? And the guy was like, what? He had no idea what the hell she was talking about. He expected, like, Hannah Montana or something.
Disqualified.
Yeah, basically.
Boo. She was too good for that fucking channel.
Yeah, man. I guess she was.
You love that channel. You watch everything on that channel, right?
It's true. Johnny Tsunami, I love you. No, I loved late 90s Disney Channel, but...
Yeah, Ryan's a hipster when it comes to Disney Channel.
Disney Channel hipster.
Moratorium.
Ooh.
It's moratorium.
Moratorium. Oh my god. I wish we had written all these down. We had a fucking wall-sized list of our moratoriums films.
Alright, Ryan, tell the people what moratorium means to you and I.
To Jeff and I, moratorium is the things that were we ever to write a successful movie or book or anything, we would not be allowed to do because they were too cliche. Although
tropes.
Nowadays, I feel like people have caught on, like,
Deadpool made fun of the superhero landing, which was on our moratorium.
Yeah, three-point superhero landing was definitely on our moratorium list. Another one that we just saw time and time again in movie trailers was where someone would say, "Now you die," and the other person would say, "You first."
Which or is, go to hell, you first.
Yeah, yeah. It's the laziest, most terrible writing, and yet it's everywhere.
I know one I absolutely hate, and it started with, was it 1988? Silence of the Lambs? It's the super intelligent criminal that the police or the law or whatever has to consult in order to catch the criminal who's running around right now. Because they do it all the frickin' time. Now, they did it with Thor and Loki. They had to get Loki out of jail to help go get the bad guys. They did it with, Hannibal Lecter. Yeah, I've seen it on, there's a whole show based around that. That show with James Spader or something, isn't it?
Blacklist.
Yeah, I hate that. I totally hate that.
You've probably done it. Hell.
I don't think so. Have I?
In your science fiction.
Yeah, that's one I hate.
I have kind of a weird insider one, which is... So, I used to do a lot of script coverage and book coverage for a production company. And people would write... I don't know what happened, but somebody read it once and was like, "Holy shit, that's amazing. I'm going to do that." And then it propagated, which was in the scene description or in the, prose, a character would be described as smoking a cigarette and then picking a fleck of tobacco off their tongue. And I read it over and over and over and over and over again.
Did that ever make it to production?
Oh my God. I don't know, because, sometimes you'll see, if there's a scene in a movie where a character's smoking, sometimes they'll, pick at their tongue and then keep talking. And so people started putting it in the description, and it bugged the shit out of me.
It's funny.
Because it was always written the exact same way, too. It was like, she picks a flake of tobacco off her tongue. Oh, God, I'm so fucking cool. I'm going to write this.
It's like people doing things gingerly. Or a pet peeve I have is grinning.
He grinned.
Yeah, when people grin...
He grinned evilly.
...in short stories or novels or scripts, it's always bad. Yeah. I know that seems like a really small nitpick, but trust me.
I'm probably guilty of that. Yeah.
I catch myself writing it, and then I go back, and I'll put in a clunkier line to take out the grin. Because when it's overused, it's really bad.
Yeah.
There's one that a lot of people do hate, which is when someone describes a character rolling their eyes. But I know people are like, nobody rolls their eyes in real life. I've done it.
You roll your eyes right now?
Countless times. So that's my anti-moratorium. Describe people rolling their eyes. Tell the people.
Wait, you're calling a moratorium on that moratorium?
Yeah. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Everybody roll their eyes.
Morin.
Merry Christmas, rolling your eyes. Jeff makes a frowny face.
Jeff rolled his eyes
and grinned.
AVP fantasy matchups.
Hell yeah.
This is characters and fighting each other, and which ones would we root for, right?
Yeah, when we were brainstorming topics, and you came up with AVP, much to my delight, and the first one, just off the dome, was Jack Burton versus Dalton from Roadhouse.
Dalton from Roadhouse, yeah.
And it, prima facie, on its face, it was like, no, that's ridiculous, it doesn't make sense. But I was like, the more you think about it, that's a really good matchup.
Tough one, tough one. Jack Burton is so bumbling, though, he would accident into a win somehow, because he always comes out on top.
Jack Burton's superpower is his, bumbling. God watches over fools or something,
The Swayze would wipe the floor with him until the very last moment.
Yeah.
But does Jack Burton have access to the Six Demon Bag and Egg Chen's potions?
Do you think it's his
potion? And a submachine gun.
See, but now, I'm not sure that it's entirely his potion that gave him the ability to, catch the knife and throw it back.
Because
he caught the bottle in the
beginning.
That's
all in the reflexes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's still got all in the reflexes. He just doesn't necessarily...
And also,
you know, see things no man can see and do things no man can do.
He came out clean from his first foray into the Wing Kong Exchange, which he did not have a potion for.
Whereas Jack Dalton is the head of the coolers, and he knows that you take the biggest guy in the world and you crush it, you break his knee, and he's done for.
He could possibly make Jack his Saturday night thing.
I mean, he would tear it. He once tore a guy's throat out with his fingers.
Yep.
So, and Jack Dalton, you know, didn't just break up bar fights. He like fought a guy who was throwing spears, and like a wave of goons. I mean, he was a pretty tough guy.
Yeah.
He would do martial arts in jeans while smoking cigarettes.
Jack took out like a demigod, though, kind of. I mean,
he did take out a demigod, but you're saying how much of that was magically imbued.
How much of that was the sixth demon bag, and how much of it was it's all on the reflexes, though.
Right. I mean, if he had to fight Dalton in a... So, is this fight taking place in one of the Chinese hells?
Or in the roadhouse?
Or in a roadhouse? Or is a roadhouse one of the Chinese hells? Because the Chinese have a lot of hells.
And here's another thing, though. I mean, really, the fight could just stop right when Dalton says it's my way or the highway. Jack Burton prefers the highway, so he's going to get right in the Pork Chop Express.
I guess what would probably happen is they would just team up and defeat the forces of evil together.
Yeah.
They're both on the same side, really.
Lopan and that guy in the 4x4. Lopan in a 4x4.
Jack Dalton would tear out Lopan's throat, toss it to Jack Burton, who would then
throw it back in Dalton's face. No, throw it back in Lopan's throat.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Yeah.
Indeed! As always, find us at the Six Demon Bag Podcast at Gmail, Facebook, and Instagram, and Six Demon Podcast at Twitter. Special thanks to Colleen Green for the use of her song Why Do You Call Me off the Green One album. And you can find Jeff on Twitter at Carter Wrote It and Facebook at Carter Wrote It. And from there, you can link out to my Amazon author page, blog, all that kind of thing.
This is Ed. You can find me, as usual, on Facebook somewhere. I'm also under my name, Erdelac, E-R-D-E-L-A-C. You can also find my blog, Delirium Tremens, at emerdelac.wordpress.com. And I'm on Patreon and Twitter and all that kind of thing. And this is my neighborhood.
This is Andrew, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram.
Where would they look, Drew?
on
if you really want it, you'll find it yourself.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there aren't a lot of Andrew Wearies out there. Just type it in. I'm sure something will pop up.
Oh, yes, there are. I looked just this morning.
I mean, yeah, there's a doctor in Texas, but you know, he's like 53 or something.
Yeah, he wouldn't be on this.
Andrew
Weary. That's the Texas version. This is Ryan. Check me out on YouTube at 20th Century RG with the number 20.
Side bag, when I used to watch, I watched Smallville, like, in the, you know, the first one or two seasons. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got away from it because it was dumb, but I caught an episode where some guy was melting down kryptonite to make kryptonite bullets. Mm-hmm. Now, can you melt down a rock?
Sure. Or is it, iron is a rock.
Yeah, but it's just there's ore. A difference between like a metal and a
all rocks have melting points.
Really? Like you can melt down a chunk of granite without it just exploding?
Hmm.
I mean, he was cooking kryptonite over an open fire, so I don't know the efficacy of that, but
maybe kryptonite has a very low smelting point.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Maybe that's why Krypton blew up.
Yeah, if it's a fantasy element, I guess I really can't split
hairs.
It was a 90 degree day
on Krypton. Somebody threw a butt on the ground and that was it.
Somebody threw four butts on the ground.
That's right. Call back!
Ba-doo, 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 ba-doo. Call back. Zoo Radio.